Parshas Matos discusses a very, very wonderful, wonderful milchama that Klal Yisrael had, that basically was the last, as it were, the last mission Moshe Rabbeinu had that allowed him to, as it were, retire to the Olam Haba that he had worked for all his life. And the Pasuk talks about in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, by Dabar Shem HaMoshe Lemo, Nakoyim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'esa Medyonim, revenge, Klal Yisrael's debt that they have against Medyonim, Acha to Osif Alamecha, and after that, you will be brought back from your nation. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's death was dependent upon the Mochama he had with Midyon. Okay? Which means that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have wished, he could have delayed that Mochama, and by doing so, he could have lived longer. But you see, straight away, he called some Itchel Moshe Rabbeinu, inspire the people to go out and to arm themselves and go out and fight. So this was a very wonderful, wonderful Mochama that we see at the end. Nobody was injured, nobody got captured, there was no injuries, even though they're against five huge, powerful kings. But Moshe Rabbeinu's death was dependent upon the success of this mission. Why was it so important that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that had to fight Midian, and only then he could die? Why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the one to fight Midian? Why could it not have been Elazar or Pinchas or Yeshua? Why dafka Moshe Rabbeinu? So it's a very, very interesting klal. And the klal is that Ze l'um hazeh osa Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world in a way that there is a very delicate balance between the Koyach HaTov and the Koyach HaRa, Kedusha and Tahara. If in any way there is a lopsided level of too much Kedusha, there wouldn't be enough Bechira in the world. If there'd be too much Tumah, then again it wouldn't be Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in as much Tumah there is, there's Kedusha as well. You know, take the holiest place in the world. That's Yerushalayim Meir HaKodesh. And take the most holy place of Yerushalayim Meir HaKodesh is the Old City. And look what's going on in the Old City. Look what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put the Mokam HaMikdash, and look how many, Rahman al-Islam, other distractions, as it were, there are in the Mokam, in the whole city. There's the Armenians with their tumors, and the Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox, and then besides the Muslims. It's incredible what's going on in this tiny little area, how much tumor there is, obviously in order to cancel out, to balance out, in as much the Kedusha, otherwise it wouldn't be Bechira. It's brought down in a Medrash. There must be Kedusha. And people talk about the Tumah of today's society and today's world where it's unprecedented. It seems like incredible amount how a person is able to access filth and access most terrible, terrible things with a touch of a button, which wasn't something that one could do. I'm not talking about 200 years ago. I'm not even talking about 50 years ago. I'm talking about 20 years ago. Yeah? These things didn't exist. And the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu has put that element of Tumah or access or potential to Tumah must be that Kodesh Baruch Hu has put into the world an enormous amount of Kedusha that is able to counter that. And Baruch Hashem, the yeshivas are flourishing, and Baruch Hashem, the frum communities are flourishing, but it must be, because it cannot possibly be that Kodesh Baruch Hu put that amount of Tumah if you don't have the balancing amount of the Kedusha. It's brought down, and the Medrash brings down, that the day that Avram Avinu died, Nimrod died. The day Yaakov Avinu died, Esav died. There has to be Zelu Umazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu was the countering force. He was the one who was balancing the Tumah of Midian with the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, for Moshe Rabbeinu to die before Midian was wiped out, that was not Shaykh. His life mission was to counter this Tumah. And therefore, the last thing he had to do, and that was his mission, really, as a Moshe Rabbeinu who'd worked through his whole life with such Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was in some way to eradicate the influence and the poison that Midian had put into Klal Yisrael, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu's death was relevant to this. And one learns from this a tremendous Musa. The Shem Shmuel says this. And a tremendous Musa. And the Musa is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into every single situation of challenge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the tools to deal with it. A person is not put into an Nisoyan that is bigger than he can possibly deal with. In every situation, whether it's a trying situation, Rachmana Litzlan, with Kedusha and Tahara. It could be a trying situation with Nisyonos of Parnasa. Wherever it is, a Kedush Baruch Hu has given the person the ability and the tools to deal with that Nisyon. No Nisyon, I should never be tested, but no Nisyon is too big for a person. A Kedush Baruch Hu always balances it out with the Kedushas a person has. Baruch Geizeh Umekayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Geizeh, gives a person Gezeirus Umekayim and gives him the ability to be Mekayim. And that's really this week's parasha. And that is really Moshe Rabbeinu initiated this Melchama, and he brought with him a group of people who are able to fight Midian. Now this is extremely, extremely interesting. It's brought down in the next passage says, Vaydabim Moshe la'om le'moyer, Heicholtzu me'itchem anoshim la'tzovo. Heicholtzu me'itchem. Heicholtzu means chalutzei tzovo. Yeah, arm yourself with anoshim. What does anoshim mean? Says Rashi, tzaddikim. We aren't looking for tough guys. We're looking for tzaddikim. V'chein bochalonu anoshim, v'chein anoshim chachomim v'yiduim. We're dealing with people who are knowledgeable and people who are tzaddikim. Now, what was the crux? What was important? What put them into the category of being considered anoshim or not anoshim? Listen to this interesting medrash. Now, when you're dealing here with a Melchama of Moshe Rabbeinu against Midian, which, as you mentioned, is Koyach of Kedusha against Tumah, then we're dealing here with a different Melchama. We're not dealing here with a Melchama of a physical Melchama. It is a spiritual Melchama of Melchama Sayyetza, Melchama Satumah. You're going to have to bring along the Chassidish Sforim for this. Yeah, that is what you need. And, you know, you're not going to find as much. You say Nishit Zaftiger Vetlach. You're not going to find some juicy Vetlach unless you bring on board the Chassidish Sforim. And unapologetically, yeah, there's a few beautiful, beautiful Vetlach from the Siva Shalom in this week's parasha. There's a beautiful vault from the Kedushas Levi, but we have to bring along the Chassidish Sforim to understand clearly the Melchemes Yitzhak that's going on over here. And the Siva Shalom brings down a very, very fascinating Medrash. Medrash says, who are these Anoshim? Medrash brings down in Shear Shirim. Shekol shneim oso elef shaholchul mechemes Midian. All these 12,000 people that went out to fight Midian, lehikdim echad mehen, not one of them did first tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad. None of them messed up the order of the tefillin. As we know, you're supposed to put them first at tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. None of these 12,000 people reverse her order and first put on tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad. She'ilu hikdim echel mehem, because if one of them would have changed the order, lo yehoya Moshe mishabcha, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have praised them, v'lo yehoya oilin misham b'sholim, and they would not have come from that war in one piece. They would not have been successful in the war. If one of them would have changed the order of the tefillin, have oimer shehoya tzadikim yaseh, they're tremendous tzadikim. Now, what's the idea behind this? This is phenomenal. What is the idea that in order to express what tzaddikim they were, we aren't talking about them not doing aveiros. We're not even talking about them not doing mitzvahs. We're talking about them doing mitzvahs, but in a reverse order. Putting the tefillin shel roish before the tefillin shel yad would be something that would totally knock them off balance and then not come back in one piece. What is so amazing about this tefillin that you've got to first have tefillin shel yad, then tefillin shel roish, and if not so, they'll not come back to Melchama, number one. Number two, we don't find the same loshen, we don't find that requirement and that tanai, that condition, by any other Melchama. They fought with Oig, yeah, and they fought with Sichoin. We don't find that condition. Why Dafka over here? With Midian, did they have this obligation to have the perfection of having it filled down in the correct way? What's the deal behind this? So the Siva Shalom brings down at this, and he says that tefillin,
the
heart before the mind, exactly. He said, what is the idea, what's the deal tefillin? Tefillin is, as you said, the Shem Yichud Kutcha Bricho, and tefillin is the two, thank you very much, it is the two elements that we have to purify. They're the two control areas of our ruchnius that if we're able to control with success, and if not, and that is our lev and our moyach, what we'd translate as our taiva and our machshava. Taiva means animalistic desires, and machshava is the hashkofa, the ability to tune our minds and our intellect into doing what's right. And he says that, as you know, the Tefillin Shel Yad is next to the heart, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh is next to the mind. So the Yad represents the heart, the desire, the taiva, and the Rosh represents the intellect. He says there are many people, and that's world philosophy, the world philosophers, you name it, the Greek philosophers, were very, very smart people. They were very, don't underestimate their, these people were absolutely brilliant. Aristotle and Plato, and these people were geniuses, absolute geniuses, but they were totally corrupt in the Midas. They had a horrendous Midas, a terrible Balitaiva. Why? Because they first put into motion their minds before they had worked on their Taiva. And if a person works on their mind before they work on their Taiva, then basically what happens is they create a Hashkofa, they create a world opinion of how to work things through and manipulate morals by according to the desires that they have. You know, you see, hear crazy stuff on the radio of people who have certain rights, I'm not even going to say the names, of how they can justify craziness, total abominations of Hashchasa, and they can, with brilliance, they can prove from different places. That's because they have worked in their minds and have not worked in the Taiva first. If a person works in the Taiva,
the High Court in
the USA. I don't want to get sued for this.
I don't want to be sued for this.
But it's a total disgrace, and that's because a person has worked in the mind before that heart. Says the Nesiva Shalom. What Moshe Rabbeinu had to make sure with Mechemes Midyon is people who are able to control the Taiva, people who are worked on their Midas, people who are able to rein in their animalistic instincts, and once they've worked on that, only then they can start working on their minds and get the right Hashkofa. And that is why any of those people who are going out to the Melchama had to make sure that they first put on a Tefillin Shel Yad and then they put on a Tefillin Shel Rosh. Because if they would in any way change it and have any person uses their mind and intellect before their Taiva, it's all over. Why? Why Dafka Midyon? Because that was exactly how Bilam was able to throw Klal Yisrael off. What did they do? They got the Benos Midyon, which was Nus, which was animalistic Taiva. And then, once they got the Taiva going, then he got them to do Baal Pe'or, which is a intellectual decision based on Hashkafa. And therefore, when it came to Midyon, where it was clearly Taiva leading on to terrible things with Hashkofa, we had to reverse that and make sure we dealt with our Taiva first before we dealt with our any Hashkofa that we may have that can be corrupted by the wrong Taiva. And that's why Dafka over here.
How did Rashi know this?
This is a Medrash.
It's a Medrash.
Yeah, it's a Medrash. Okay? Let's go further. Let's go further here. And this is a beautiful, beautiful piece, which is outstandingly amazing how it fits into mamish pshat of what's going on. Later on, the Posuk says, in Perek Lamed Aleph Posuk Memtes. Perek Lamed Aleph Posuk Memtes. Vayomer el Moshe. Yeah? Vayomer Moshe said to Moshe, Avodecho nosu es reish anshe el mochama. Your avodim, nosu, lifted up. I'm just trying to translate over here because it doesn't really make much sense. Es reish anshe el mochama, the heads of the people went to mochama. Ashe b'yedeinu though in our hands. V'loi nifkad mimenu ish, and no man got lost. V'nakrim is korban Hashem, and etc., etc. Okay? That's in Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Memtes. It talks about Anshei HaMelchama. Yeah? Before that, it says, the Pasuk before that, Vayikruvu El Moshe HaPakudim Asher La'alfei HaTzavo Sura Elof and Sura Meos. And they came to Moshe HaPakudim Asher La'alfei HaTzavo, who are the Alafim, which means the generals of the Tzavo, La'alfei HaTzavo. Asks in the Siva Shalom, why in Pasuk Memches, when it talks about the military, it talks about the leaders of military, calls them the Alfei HaTzavo, the Alafim, the heads of the Tzavo. like we call the, you know, like Israeli army, tzava. Yeah. The next pasuk talks about es anshe hamilchama. What's the difference between tzava and milchama? What's the difference between anshel tzava and anshel milchama? Yeah. And it seems like they're two separate things over here. What's the difference between lashonos over here? Also, what does it mean when it says the pasuk says later on v'nakris korban Hashem, and it says Anshe Hatzava Bozazu Ishloi in Pasuk Nun Gimel. Anshe Hatzava Bozazu Ishloi, and the people of Muhammad Bozu Ishloi, each one took what was theirs. And they didn't steal. We're dealing here with Anoshim. We're dealing here with great people who are able to make sure they have the tivus in check. What's the apostle telling me? Anshat sova bozazu ishloi. Listen to this vault. It's absolutely beautiful. He said there was a machlekus. There were two famous brothers called the Rebbe Reb Zusha and Rebbe Reb Elimelech, who were as close as they were totally different. And
of the
Pitzetzin Rebbe, yeah. And they were very different. The Rebbe Reb Zusha was more, I'd say, the more spiritual, and Rebbe Elimelech was much more down to earth. In the famous story, they started learning, decided to learn Dafayomi together, you know, whatever, started to learn Gemara together, right? So he started the first Mishnah, Me'emesai Kriya Neshama Ba'arvis. Me'emesai, when do we start saying Kriya Neshama at night? So Rebbe Elimelech starts to go, Me'emesai Kriya Neshama Ba'arvis, and he starts, and Rebbe Zusha is away already. Me'emesai Kriya Neshama Ba'arvis, Mit'aima. With fear, me'ema, with trepidation, with fear, kriya neshama ba'arvis, we read kriya neshama at night, oy, me'ema. Rebbe Elimelech says, this is not gonna work. Okay. But the kitzah, they had an argument. Rebbe Elimelech and Rebbe Nezusha had a machlekas. How do you start the Avodas Hashem? In other words, the ultimate Avodas Hashem is to coming and appreciating the godless of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, valuing who we are in this world, realizing what our tachlis is, vis-a-vis a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do we do that? So there's a machlekas. And the machlokes was whether you should view HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and by doing so you bring yourself up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or do you realize how lowly a man is and therefore how much we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. So do you look up Shemayim and see, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, and therefore we bring ourselves up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or do we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into our world? That's a machlekes he had.
Sounds like Nevadik and Slovodka.
It's Gadlus on Shifas Adam. It has similarities, yeah. So they went to the Mizritcha Magid, and they asked them, Mizritcha Magid, what is the answer to this? And he said, Eidu ve'ilu divelikim chayim. You're both right. So he said, but there's a difference. He says that the derech, correct way, the perfect way for a person really to work, if a person had a choice, was really to work on shiflus, to work on how lowly you are, because there's nowhere else you can fall from there. If you're flying in the sky, if you're going up towards Shemayim, you can fall right off the helicopter, right? If you're working on the ground, you're not going to fall off the ground. If you work on your shiflus or adam, then you can only bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu down, you're on a very secure, very, very firm ground. That is the ideal way. But, there's a major problem. Because if a person focuses on how lowly they are, they can work on their shiflus, and they're completely meyuyish. They can completely lose any self-respect, and they become so, they give up. Who am I? Oh, it's such terrible avarice. That's it, it's all over. And therefore, for a regular person to work on shiflus, for a regular person to work on I am a nothing, has a danger to it. And therefore, this person should work on the opposite. So for tzaddikim, it's the correct thing to work that way on shiflus. But to work on the regular person, there's a major problem.
Rabbi Elimelech was known to be very, very humble.
I'm not sure who said what. It doesn't say who said what. Yeah. But the better way for regular people is to see the Rebbeinu Shleilah, and to value the Rebbeinu Shleilah, and to see yourself coming towards Rebbeinu Shleilah. But the problem is, says Mizritch HaMagid, Einayim Lehem LeYiru, Uznayim Lehem LeYishmo. People are blind, they don't see Rebbeinu Shleilah easy, they don't hear Rebbeinu Shleilah easy. How do you do this? You realize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and therefore you connect yourself with Him by making yourself a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you say, and this was something which is a a very important principle in chinuch, is you don't tell your kids you're terrible, terrible what you did. You poshut say, it's pasnisht. You know who you are. Do you know how great you are? You're chelik alakayim imal. You're ben yochid of the rabbeinu shleilam. Do you know who you are? It's poshut for you. It's not befitting such a thing. And you bring the person up to the rabbeinu shleilam. He says the koyach of the yetzer hara is always to bring a person down. And you have to bring a person up. It says by Yosef, it says, "Batifseyu bibigdoi," and she grabbed him onto his bigdoi. So the Mefarshim explained the bigdoi is babogdoi. And she said, "Listen, Yosef, who are you? Come to Avodah, you come to work to do Averus. Who are you? Ach, you're nothing. Give up. Forget about it." So what did he turn around and say to Eishes Potiphar? What are you talking about? Enenu godol b'bayis hazeh mimeni. No, I am. I am a child of Yaakov Avinu. I'm one of the child of the Bechir Ovis. I am a chinuch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how he pulled himself up. And that was two ways. There's a way of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to you, starting off a shiflus, and then work. And or the other way is bringing yourself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it depends who you are. So he says there's two ways of brought down in this parasha. There's Anshei Mulchama and there's Anshei Tzavah. Anshei Tzava are the wonderful people. Like he brought down Tzva Hashemayim L'chom Ishtachavim. What Tzva Hashemayim means? They're Star Wars? The Tzva Hashemayim means Star Wars. No. You know, this Darth Vader is a figment of, I must tell you, it's a figment of Hollywood. It's not a really, there's no Star Wars. There's no Tzva Hashemayim. There's no war in the Shemayim. What Tzva Hashemayim mean? It means people who are out there to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu correctly. It talks about, Eilu lasis melocha ba'ol moed. Yeah, the pasuk says, kol ba'ol tzava lasis melocha ba'ol moed. It's people who come to do tzava ba'ol moed. In other words, that when you're talking about anshei tzava, are the people who are doing rotzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the people who are tzava are those people who have already dealt with the melchemes ha'yetzer. They've already dealt with their taiva. They're growing on a daily basis. Those are anshei tzava. Right? Those are anshei tzava. On the other hand, there are anshei melchama. Anshei Melchama are people who are the lower level, who are fighting with themselves on a daily basis, with a Yetzer Hara, with a basic Tivus. They're fighting! And it's difficult for them. That's Anshei Melchama. So the Pasuk is saying over here is, look inside the Pasuk. So the Pasuk says, Vayikrabu Moshe HaPekudim Ashera Alfei Atzava. In other words, those people are Alfei Atzava, those people who are the great people, the Tzadikim, came to Moshe Rabbeinu. And these are Alfei Tzava. Those are the ones who are the ones who are working from themselves, from the lower levels, to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu to them. Right? Anshei Tzava. Vayoyim Re'al Moshe. And it said to Moshe, Avadecha, your avodim, i.e. the G'dayle Olam, Nasu es Roish Anshei HaMilchama. They lifted up. We know how to deal with different people. We lifted up, we made them feel great. Who? Es Roish Anshei HaMilchama. Those people who are Anshei HaMilchama, we knew not to treat them in the same way that we treat ourselves. We didn't make them into nothings. No. We treated these people Anshei HaMilchama. We Es Roish Anshei HaMilchama. We elevated them. Do you know who you are? You children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are Makar of them. They brought Anshei HaMilchama, Asher Medenu. And therefore, V'lei Nifkad Mimenu Ish, nobody got lost because we were able to train them and deal with them the correct way. But for ourselves, says Apostle later on Apostle Nun Gimel, Anshei HaTzava. But people who are Anshei HaTzava, those people who were the greater people, Bozzu Ishloi. They were Bozzu Loshon Bizoyin, Ishloi, a man to himself. Now, me, Ich bin Agonish, I'm nothing. When it came to Anshei HaTzava, I'm nothing. And they, when it came to Anshei Melchama, they elevated them. When it came to Anshei Tzava, they made themselves into a nothing. Anshei Tzava, Bozzu Ishloi. The koyach of this week's parasha is knowing when to use what. Sometimes it's gaiva, and sometimes it's another. Knowing when to use what. And that's a beautiful vort I saw. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, earlier on the parasha, it says, by Yiksav Moshe, this is in Perik Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudalad, it says, Perik Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudalad, it says, by Yiksav Moshe, Apakuta Hachayil, sorry, laughing, sorry, Hameos, yeah, Moshe got angry with them, Habaim Mi Tzva HaMulchama, who came from the Tzva HaMulchama, who came from the Mulchama. Yeah? In other words, they're coming back from the Mulchama. A few psukim later, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayomer Lo Zakein Anshei HaTzava, the same people, Habaim La Milchama, who are going to Milchama. What do you mean going to Milchama? They just came back from Milchama. The Pasuk says in Yudalah, they just came back from Milchama. What do you mean they're going to Milchama? It's over, the Milchama's gone. So the Mefarshim say, no, that when a person fights the Yetzirah, there's a battle. And the battle is such that one fights it and one fights it. And the problem is, sometimes one thinks the battle is over. And one becomes a Balgaiva. Ah, Baruch Hashem, look who I am. I fought my Yetzirah. Look, I'm a great guy. Says Allah Zarkoye, no. Asha Anshal Tzava Habon Milchama. You have just started the Milchama now. If you have element self, Gaiva, if you think that you are successful because you are able to win the Yetzirah in yourself, there's something deep inside you that's wrong. You just started Milchama, the Milchama is a Gaiva. In other words, you can have Gaiva to fight the Yetzirah. That's fine, if that's what you need. I'm a child of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when you win the Yetzirah, you have to start a new Milchama of working with your Anava. Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, help me. That's just starting your Milchama. What do you have to do? You got to do a Hagolah. You got to go into yourself and purify yourself and make sure that you are holding where you're holding. And that's really this week's parasha. That's what I want to finish off. That's this week's half parasha. I just want to finish off that the idea is over here as well, that when a person makes Milchama, the diktuk, how careful one has to be, certainly within the 3 weeks now, of we're trying to kapar sinas chinam. There's a beautiful Balaturim. The Balaturim says, Valnifka memenu ish. He says, the Balaturim says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not send out the heads of the Shvatim? He brought out a hodgepodge bunch of tzaddikim, no doubt. But why didn't the Nesiim lead them? A leader can inspire, a leader knows what the people need, he can speak to them with their language. The Nesiim weren't included over here. Don't say send the Nesiim out to the Milchama. Why not? So he says, because Shimon didn't have a Nasi. He was killed a Nasi. And therefore, for those people to be taken out with their Nasi, and Shimon doesn't have a Nasi, how embarrassing it would be for Shimon. But here's Bekuach Nefesh, Rabbi say. Bekuach Nefesh, this is a war. This isn't going out to a chasno bar mitzvah. He's talking about sending out people to war, send with them the very best for Nasi to make sure they win. The answer is, if it's going to come on a cheshbon, on another person's embarrassment, that is not our ishtadlus. Ishtadlus is not done if somebody else is going to feel in any way uncomfortable about this. We don't have to do this. That's not what we have to do. The success of this war was a fact that they were able to focus on Zelu Umazeh, to have Moshe Rabbeinu who was able to balance it out with the Kedusha. He had an Anshid Sov and Anshid Mechama who were able to know on their Yetzirah how to deal with it, whether you have to elevate yourself or whether you have to pull yourself down. These are people who were able to control their Taiva, and therefore only once the Taiva was controlled they were able to work with their Machshava. And they worked with their Mechama even afterwards. That's this week's parashim. Ez Hashem, 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 Hashem,